Welcome back to an episode full of deep thoughts.
Many thoughts.
Full of black colors. Because I'm mourning the Florida State Seminole football program. Thankfully, you're back with another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast where we get a little bit lighter after we dive in with our Florida State Seminoles. I'm going to make a start with us here in a start with us as in the Florida State Seminoles here in a second. But first off, it's National Beer Drinking Day. Cheers to that, buddy. This Cheers. Is something we're very good at. And we needed quite a it's few good. Of those this weekend as we watched the much alluded to Florida State Seminole disaster of a program. Also, Thursday night, prior to the weekend, the Jags, a team near and dear to our heart, I'm also repping them in black on my shirt, another team that just let us down. So it's going to be fun. We're going to have a good time. We're going to lighten it up here in a minute, but I want to dive right into Florida State. And
Can we stop? But right before we dive in, let's do 15 seconds, a moment of silence for the 2020 Florida State football season. September 2020 to September 2020, we hardly knew you.
A poor one out for him, for sure. What a disaster, man. I mean, Oof. Let's just – I don't want to cover the game because, to be honest,
I think
me, like most Florida State fans, turned it off.
Well, here's your game breakdown.
I take that back. I didn't turn it off. I started cleaning up the house because I had some people over. Everyone was gone by half. So I had the whole second half. Wife's in bed. Everyone's asleep. It's just me and the game. And I was like, well, I can't sit here and watch it or I might not – You know, I might off myself.
Game breakdown is Miami dominated the entire thing from start to finish. There you go. There's your game breakdown.
We had a nice scripted first drive again, though. They're two for two on scripted drives.
Part of the reason why I stayed with it till about 5 minutes left, my dad was actually locked in. We were in this group chat with my brother and two of my uncles who are both Miami fans. Like, I can't. I think my dad actually got mad. And my dad, you know, back in the day, he used to be so diehard into the Noles where he would scream and yell when I was like a baby. And it actually scared me. I thought football was evil because, like, daddy's yelling all the time.
Football is evil, yeah, man. The way I got through my bets this weekend, the way my heart and mind have to endure, it's evil.
Yeah.
So you were right. Your intuition was correct.
I think my dad was to the point where he's upset about what was going on, and he hasn't been as invested in the Noles of the last several years as he has been previous to that. But I mean, he's sitting there texting me, and I'm trying to explain to him, like, listen, I was wrong when I told you before the season. I mean, go back 3 weeks ago and cut our segment where we talked about how this team may win 8 games and just burn that one because it could not have been any further off. And yeah. And I lasted paying attention, maybe a little stronger attention, a little bit longer than you did, but didn't see a whole heck of a lot other than some of the young pups getting in there late and getting a chance to play. But hey, you fired off a tweet at the end, and I have it here verbatim.
Yes, let's confront this head on. And what's nice for our listeners and for me and you, I have not talked to you about this tweet.
No.
You tweeted at me. I disagree with all three of your points. We'll discuss on the pod. And I, to myself, was like, you mother. All right, good. I almost called you right then. It was like, let's talk right now, you bastard.
No, this is good. We're going to workshop this here on the air for the first time.
Hopefully so, peacefully.
You tweet, thoughts on the game. Blackman will never start again. Fuller isn't the right guy for defense. Knowles will make a ball. LOL, LOL. We'll start with let's just start with number 1.
I forgot I said the LOL. See, what's funny is I'm a ha-ha guy.
Yeah, yeah.
You've texted me since we've had phones.
Yep.
I'm a ha-ha guy. If I'm saying LOL, it's straight satire.
I never mean
LOL for real.
Nope. I'm right there with you. Let's start with number 1. Blackman will never start again. So we saw here, I actually had a friend of the program, Mike Yazji, who's appeared on this program. He and I watched the game together on Saturday, the first half at least.
A good fan.
And we did a gentleman's bet before the game. I said, how many over under five plays before Jordan Travis is in the game? He goes, I got to take the over. I was like, I think they're going to run some package for him. And when you know, very first play of the game, they get it in. So
how creative was that, too?
It was great.
They did a very nice job incorporating it.
It was great until poor guy got beat up so bad that, like, eventually had to kind of slow that down at least. But
he left the game with an injury.
Right,
just
exactly.
Came back, yeah.
He came back to the sideline but didn't come back to the game. He's kind of day by day as it goes right now. You don't think he's going to start again? Here's why I think, and I don't think your sentiment is wrong. Should he start again? No. But this kind of goes back to the point we made 2 weeks ago. who are you going to start in his place? You can't start Jordan Travis in my mind because the guy just isn't – he's not a quarterback to your system. He's a gadget guy. And then if you play Tate Rodemaker now, I think we all know that they want it to be Purdy. Can you yank Rodemaker in 2 weeks, or especially because he might be ready to go by next week based off of what the coaches are saying with how close he is? Do you sit there, bite the bullet one more time with Blackman, and then when Purdy's ready to go? It's not like Rodemaker came in and lit things up, so I just can't imagine that they're
going to turn it to him. I agree. He had composure, which was nice. Nice to see a young guy with composure. Yeah. But here's why I said that. Blackman, we all agree, and I'm happy to hear why. Your explanation helps me, because it's not like you're like, oh, no, Blackman's the guy, you got to ride with him. I know you don't think he's good. No. That's not your sentiment. I get that, but I was afraid that you were like, oh, you can't throw someone else in there. It's a lost season anyway. And the reason that I think we will see another team quarterback is strictly because the team we're facing in Jacksonville State. That is the sole reason I think it's a perfect week to investigate. So Blackman, if he starts, he's not playing the full game. I don't think he'll even start. I think this week you see Rodemaker and Purdy rotate, and we kind of let them pseudo quarterback battle midseason. I know it's a disaster, but the season's a disaster. Mm. So that's not ideal to have a quarterback battle in season. We never see a two quarterback system work ever. Like, think of Eric Ainge back in the day with what was the other guy's name?
Rick Clawson? Is that who he rotated with?
Yeah, it was Clawson. Yeah. And then UCLA, Ben Olsen and someone else. Just,
yeah, I mean,
I'm thinking of guys on a that, lot like, of, they did it throughout the whole season.
The old Florida saying is, if you got two quarterbacks, you got no quarterbacks.
That's correct.
And that's sort of a situation Florida State actually finds themselves in. They've got four guys that are listed as quarterback.
Yeah.
They don't really have anybody they know that they have anything with. So,
but this staff, I think, is so fed up. They're winners.
Yeah.
This staff is proven winners, and they constantly find success wherever they are through development and through scheme. And right now, they are at a loss on what to do. And I think, you know, God bless Blackman. He's a great teammate, but he has proven for 4 years now that he can't do it. So why would we roll his ass out there again?
And hey, I could be wrong. They could end up doing it, because your logic makes sense here too. It is a great game. If the Miami game hadn't been off the bye now, in hindsight, say we had played Miami immediately and then got the bye before Jacksonville State, 100% it'd be Rodemaker or Purdy, because then you've got an extra week to install. But
that would have been perfect.
It would have been perfect in hindsight, but, you know, hindsight 2020. But now that we look at it, that didn't happen. Do they want to, again, I don't know if they want to, if they saw enough. I didn't see enough from Tate Rodemaker, granted, against a Miami defense where they kept a lot of guys in there late in that game too, which I thought was very interesting. Starters on both sides of the ball later than I would have guessed that they would have for Miami.
I found that
Florida State's
too.
Rolling the entire two deep out there, and they're like, "Yep, and we're going to try and score again here in the fourth." I'm like, "All right, cool."
Yeah, well, you know, Manny Diaz. That's
he's trying
all
to stick it.
Diaz.
It's recruiting, and I get it. It's recruiting stuff. You want to sit there and say, "Look how bad we beat Florida State.
We
and,
buried them."
Yeah,
you know,
I'm not saying that's the wrong thing to do. I was just. At one point, I was like, wow, okay.
Well, it's wrong because we were on the wrong end of that ass kicking.
I was just like, man, it'd be a real bummer right now. Derek King, like, rolled an ankle. And then
you're
sitting there
real
going, like,
bummer.
Yeah, it's like, why is he playing in the fourth? And then everybody's questioning Manny Diaz. But for Rodemaker, I think they look at him as, like, the dude that they want to have on the roster, right? Like, Purdy's the guy they want to play. Rodemaker's, like, the really good, like, backup. He's the Clint Trickett. Yeah. He's the Clint Trickett. And do you want to, like, invest in Clint Trickett right now? That's where I hesitate. So that's where I think Blackman probably has one more start in him until they know they can do this thing with Purdy.
But then,
and then they
roll him out for Notre Dame?
Well, it doesn't matter who you're rolling him out for.
No, I know,
point.
But I think the reason we didn't even see – I think the reason we saw Blackman this week is because it was Miami and it was a foregone conclusion on how it was going to go. The last thing you'd want to do is roll out a young guy with no experience against a Miami team where he's vastly overmatched. Even if he gave you a better opportunity to win, you knew you weren't winning. In your heart of hearts, you knew you weren't winning, despite my moment of trying to convince myself when I was texting you.
Yeah,
and
boy,
thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. That was a moment.
Hey, I was overhyped on coffee, and I was like, wait a minute. We had so many missed plays against Georgia Tech. We could have been in it. But look.
Yeah, look how bad Georgia Tech is.
Right. Look at Georgia Tech. Look at our defensive line. I mean, we could do a whole segment on how disappointing they are. We don't have a segment group where you go, okay, at least we don't have to worry about them.
Nope.
We don't. And that's a really bad problem to have. So it's time to go young.
Maybe the best, but I mean, now we're really grasping
straws.
Yeah,
now you're, I mean, specialist. Yeah. You didn't even see, that's such a small sample size. So all you're saying is they haven't effed up yet.
Yeah.
You know, that's probably the truth. But the problem is you don't have anything to hang your hat on. So you have to go young with everyone. Everyone.
Now
if you go young at running back, if you go young at receiver, you go young at D-line, you go young at linebacker, it's a detriment to not just go young at quarterback. Just do it.
The biggest thing right now that is going to probably benefit Norvell in the long run is if he goes head first into the deep end on the rebuild and says, listen, and this kind of gets to my next point about Adam Fuller being the right guy for the defense. Like, we've seen him coach for two games.
I have to interrupt because my 3 points there, the second one is the one where I'm like, I think I'm the most sold on.
Really? Okay.
More than Blackman not starting another game because, like you said, they might put him in because let's do it down the line. Carry on.
Here's the thing. We've seen him coach defense for two games. We've seen most of these players on defense for way more than two games. And I think defense, out of all the sides of the ball, is a Jimmy's and Joe's, not an X's and O's. Now, granted, scheme is important. Like, you can't just roll guys out there and say, go play, and, like, things are going to work. And that's why Fuller could end up being someone who maybe isn't the greatest fit for it. But, like, they've got dudes out there that just can't make plays right now.
Yeah.
Like, they just cannot make – the defensive – like, you can't scheme it up where your defensive line that's supposed to be good – can't get to the quarterback. You can't figure out how to get guys to break down and make a tackle in space. Like, there's or where you're in coverage and then you just get beat on an out route. You know, like, these things, or you have a mental breakdown and leave the middle of the field open. These are the things where I'm just like, these guys, and this gets back to the point I made after the Georgia Tech game and our instant reaction. These dudes are losers, and I don't mean that in a bad way.
What a loser!
Yeah, I don't mean it like that.
Not a Will Ferrell insert this clip here from Wedding Crashers.
Loser!
What an idiot! Oh, what a loser!
What an idiot!
They're losers in the fact that, like, they don't know how to make a winning play, much less win a football game. So it's so ingrained, the culture of this program. And unfortunately, like, I've heard it so much now nationally. Like we heard the broadcasters talking about it during the game on Saturday night. We saw a lot of the national people being like, wow, Florida State is bad. Like, Dan Patrick this morning, they're talking about it, and he's going, Florida State is terrible. And it's like, yeah. Like, we actually went for the first time in a long time on a national stage and laid an egg the way we've been doing it noon for the last couple of years, and one's noticed.
Worst thing that could have happened is that game getting game day. I don't know how it did.
Well, there's just nothing else that they had the right. I mean, I guess they could have gone to an SEC one that they didn't have the rights to, but these days with the travel and stuff, I kind of get it. Yeah. Though it ended up being moot because Herbie couldn't go anyway.
They won't go to SEC games?
Well, no, they will, but I think they wanted to have it to where Chris and Herbie were going to be, you know, all that stuff, as opposed to fly, you know, and then you have I don't know. And then Herbie's ready to stay home because of contact tracing.
So, the Rona. Yeah. Yeah. So I like your take there.
Yeah, I want to hear why you're not.
Very level-headed analysis, and mine is more of a knee-jerk fan analysis, right? So I'm admitting that now that I've had time to cool down, as you saw the timestamp of my tweet.
Yeah, it was.
But I do want to say I am sticking to my side of it.
Okay.
And here's why. And I like your logic, and I totally hope that's the case, because I agree. Those guys are losers. But I don't like the X's and O's of the scheme in general. I don't like blitzing three down linemen when you know we've now seen through a couple quarters, more than four quarters, that this D-line can't get in there, can't get home, and you have a mobile quarterback. So you're just going to sit back and say, oh, we'll just keep him back there and let him throw. Well, guess what? You're playing a soft-ass zone. he can do that. He's not, I'm not saying he's a talented passer, but he can do that. A lot of these guys were sitting in the middle of pockets.
He was really good in the intermediate the other night.
He really was. And you know what? Sharper than I thought he was in general. Yep. I didn't know he was that kind of guy. He did impress me in that sense. Another thing, if I see another third and five where we're playing off, press their ass, get in his grill. That's coaching. That's coaching. And when I see that, and it happens on a third and five, okay, next third and five, because didn't it feel like every three plays we were at third and five?
Oh, it was all night long.
Dink and dunk it down was, the field, quick it was slant all night this, long. Quick slant that, you know, intermediate in route, dig route, curl route, all easy stuff. If I have another short yardage situation where I don't have a corner in your face, I'm going to lose my mind. And that's why I'm sticking with this, because the X's and O's of his plan were not there. The logic was not there. If you're bringing heat, have someone up in someone's face so you can at least throw him off his route, jam him for a second, get him off his route, allow the blitz to make it home. On the plays we were blitzing, we're playing off. He'd have to do is say, okay, I recognize the blitz from here. I'm a one-step hitch and throw. That was my issue with it. I thought it looked terrible, and I want him to be good. When I listen to his interviews, I'm like, this guy knows football. But he was not. He looked like a lesser Mark Stoops in the way we played a bend, don't.
I was about to say, this has a very Mark Stoops feel to it, the way the defense is.
And the difference with Mark Stoops' scheme when he was at Florida State is, talk about Jimmies and Joes. Those teams were more loaded than the 2013 national title team, if you ask me.
But the early – think back to the Oklahoma game on the road against Oklahoma. Remember that? What was that, 2009? I think it was 2009.
I think it was 10. But, yeah, the Nick Moody.
Yeah,
okay,
so it was like right in there.
Out.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. It was 10. And, like, that team – eventually, like, they're playing a scheme. They're playing kind of the bend-don't-break thing. But like eventually it just got to the point where it's like we just didn't have enough skill on the defensive side of the ball to keep up with Oklahoma, which has been doing Oklahoma things for years. Yeah. And that was still, what, year one?
Landry, I guess, DeMarco Murray.
Of all that stuff. Yeah. Whereas now we're seeing
– I think that was Stoops' first year,
right,
by the way.
And like eventually, yes, they were able to recruit. They were able to get guys into the system to fit and all that. And then things got better. And then, of course, he left. And Jeremy Pruitt just put a couple tweaks on a what was a pretty well-oiled machine at that point.
Well, he let athletes play downhill. Yeah, and right now on defense, screw the D-line. I think they're all losers, to take your term again. But that secondary, those aren't losers, man. Those guys can play. They got to play downhill. Get them in someone's face. I don't think we have absolute studs, but I do think they're better than they're being put in the situation that they're in.
Yeah.
So what kind of adjustments do we see down the line? Can Fuller win me back?
Right. Well,
because I don't think he's stupid, but when he sits here and turns on the film, he's going to have to tweak some stuff.
And one of the biggest things, back to where I started this kind of point two on here in this discussion, Mike Norvell needs to go all in on the youth movement. Like, we've seen enough.
Chuba, save us.
You probably keep a guy like Marvin, because like you've got to keep a guy like Marvin, and he's playing hard. He's double teamed every snap.
He's a good leader. My problem with Marvin Wilson is he talks a big game. He has all these accolades. He's never made splash plays, really.
Well, he's double teamed every snap. It's so hard for him to get off of that.
Double team, triple team, you know. But
on the play where he got ejected, like,
he was trailing and playing.
Dude, it's a guy making a hustle play from the D-line 9 yards down the field. Like, you got to respect that. And great, by the way, good rule change on not making a dude do the walk of shame out of there anymore and allowing him to stay there and be present for his teammates. Yeah. Like, why, again, at least we're being smart, not punishing kids for things that are largely out of their control. I mean, so for that, we need to see, like, Travis J started the other night. Like, that's a young guy who plays hard, has some skill, and he's raw as all get out.
Yep.
But put him out there and see what happens. Like, let some young dudes make mistakes at 100 miles an hour, and then at least you'll know whether or not these are the guys you're going to be able to take the battle next year, or if you're going to have to recruit over them. Because at this point, we said it in our group chat the other night, talking about, because for some reason, you know, game two in the Mike Norvell era, people are talking that shall go nameless about how many years he's going to get to fix this thing. And this one doesn't count, especially if he plays all these young dudes, because this is year zero. you can, I've argued for a year zero ever since they changed the early recruiting window to where, like, you take a job and you've got a whole bunch of dudes that have recruited to join you or signed on
You're
to join you.
You're a very understanding, patient guy, but college football is not like that.
But this is why this year is even more different. Like, I've been team year zero, but, like, the colleges still haven't done that. Like, coronavirus has changed everything. Like we, you have to understand that this year
no spring
isn't going,
to implement
no spring.
Yeah,
weird.
That's
falls,
a terrible
hand you're dealt. And like you had your head coach because of this wasn't even on the sideline. Yeah. Couldn't even be with his team last week. That hurts. And I mean, even deeper than that, it's a money thing. Like you're just not going to see as many people get fired this year because of the fact that these athletic departments can't afford
especially
it.
Especially for us in particular, the Noles.
Right, and Florida State just
we're
did
still
this.
Yeah, we're still paying Willie Taggart.
Right, so, and it's going
so
to take a lot of money.
So one thing I'll say is I think it's a moot point because I still believe in Norvell. I mm-hmm. may by the end of the year not believe it, but I still think he better have this thing turn around in 2 years. Like, see, noticeable improvement.
Improvements. Yeah,
eight wins.
Yeah.
8 wins. Like, I'm not asking team's for the world.
Yeah, like, I don't think this team's going to win very many games this year at all. It's just a weird schedule. It's tough. You don't even have hardly any layup games. You only have one.
All right, so let me cut you off right now. That's a great point. How many wins are left on the schedule? Because I don't know. I don't know anymore.
I mean, I'm just... I'm going to go 1 week at a time, and I'm just hoping this team comes out and plays better
God,
than
I'm
it has
nervous. Jacksonville
the first
State,
2 weeks against Jacksonville State.
Like, Duke, NC State.
This is where we'll really see, I mean.
Oh, boy.
You'll really see how talented or untalented this team is if they go out and get in a dogfight with Jacksonville State. It's going to be like, holy smokes.
Hey,
these guys.
And as it stands right now, a friend of the program and contributor, Colin McQuillan, I think we're still going, right? I think I'm going with Colin. We'll see. You just asked me if we're still going, and he might be so fed up with last week. I haven't talked to him since Saturday. He might say, screw that product. So I think I'll be on my way to Tallahassee on Saturday.
Listen, your last point in the tweet, as we put a wrap on this, you'll say, Noles will make a ball, LOL, LOL. Now, I said I disagree with that. Everybody is bowl eligible this year, so technically Florida State has to make a bowl, right?
I was hoping my listeners were smart enough, Sky. I didn't know my co-host here.
I said
might not be.
I just don't see how there's going to be enough bowls to put everybody in them. Like, how are these bowls going to function monetarily if you can't bring people to the stadiums? All this other stuff, that's a little too deep for this. So I'll just go with the fact that maybe Florida State doesn't get an invite because of the fact that there aren't enough bowls for them to make, even if they are quote-unquote bowl eligible. But in the grand scheme of things, yeah, like we just asked each other how many more wins are left in the schedule. If this was a normal year, there's absolutely no way this team's going bowling. I mean, not at this rate.
No way. Absolutely not.
Also, I have to offer an apology, a correction.
Oh, I'm so glad you're doing this. Listen up, everyone. Listen
you said
up.
That
turn up your radio.
We had a little bit of a disagreement over whether or not everybody was getting their eligibility back. That is a fall athlete this year's fall sports athlete, and yes, they all get their eligibility back. So
it's very good. All right. Well, I agree with you. Okay. I think you owed me that.
I did. All right, Alex, enough with the Noles. Let's go ahead and talk more about college football at large.
National Beer Drinking Day. We're doing a good job.
Yeah, second one down here on this National Beer Drinking Day. Let's go a quick three and out here, three observations from the college football weekend. It was widely considered to be the first full slate, even though we don't quite have the Big Ten and the Pac-12 yet, but the SEC returning this weekend gave us our most complete look of games that we've had thus far. What was your first observation that stood out to you from this past Saturday?
My number one hurts a little bit to say, as it's a dark and gloomy feeling just coming off the Florida State conversation, but the Florida Gators, man, they looked awesome, and I know their defense had a lot of big plays they gave up, a lot of stuff to tighten up there. But they have athletes all over the field on offense. Kyle Pitts, Kadarius Toney's always been athletic, always been a playmaker. Yeah. We saw that again this weekend. And Trask is 2 years in the system, feeling good, looking good. I think the Gators, if you remember, were my dark horse team to make the playoff before we even knew what college football would look like this year. And I think this weekend, they're not so dark anymore. That's a light horse, if you will. I think a lot of people are going to start coming on that bandwagon.
Yeah, not to turn this right back into the Noles real quick, but part of what makes it so painful right now as a Florida State fan is that Florida seems to be very good. Miami seems to be good for the first time in a while, though they'll get their first real litmus test here in 2 weeks when they play Clemson. Yep. But, like, usually we've got somebody down with us, you know?
Yeah.
And we're all the way to the bottom by ourselves. Yeah. Like, we're sitting down there below, like, FIU and FAU, and it's just like, oh, God. All right. But, yeah, no, Florida looked it was a little bit hairy there in that first half. But, man, their offense
It was. They were going shot incredible. For shot, but that offense is something different. And Florida State – I mean, I'm sorry. Florida has the players on defense to where they're going to get stops just because they have athletes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it'll be interesting to see as they get into the meat of this SEC schedule and all SEC schedule where they're playing two more games than they normally do. That's a gauntlet week in and week out. We'll see how the Gators stack up in that. My first observation from the weekend comes from the Big 12 Conference. And it was another not-so-great weekend for the Big 12. An upset. Kansas State rallies from 21 or 28 down
to
stun Oklahoma for the second year in a row.
If you're Oklahoma, your least favorite team in the world is no longer Texas. It's Kansas State. You're like, these bastards they're a gnat, you know?
Speaking of Texas, they needed a miracle of miracles, an all-time late rally in order to squeak by Texas Tech on the road. A Texas Tech team that needed a late rally themselves to beat Houston Baptist the week before, so they're not all that good either. I mean, this league right now, I mean, TCU loses. West Virginia's not very good. Oklahoma State, we know that they struggled with Tulsa the week before and was able to beat West Virginia this week. But this doesn't look like a league right now that has any heavy hitters. I mean, if I gave you the opportunity today to put money on whether or not the Big 12 would have a team in the playoff, if it stays a 4-team playoff at the end of it, would you put money on them to have a team in there right now?
No chance. I mean, Texas Tech's not a good team.
No.
Texas had to, like you said, have a miraculous comeback. And then Oklahoma, that pretty much sealed their fate right there, losing to Kansas State. In an odd year like we have, with coronavirus affecting everything, somewhat there are going to be two SEC teams and then Clemson. So I don't think Big Ten's going to be that other team. I think it's going to be Ohio State. I don't see them squeaking in. Maybe even Oregon.
Maybe, yeah. Now that the Pac-12
teams play.
Right, and we'll have to see.
But we got everyone back now. It's not going to be Oklahoma or Texas, I'll tell you that, to answer your question.
I'm inclined to agree with you, certainly, at this point. It has not been – the Big 12, they were all praised for kind of sticking it out there for a while, and then now they're the guys that are sitting there struggling the most. But the Pac-12 sitting there going, thanks for stealing our usual bad headlines. We'll gladly come back, and hopefully you guys will still be considered to be not the best. What was your second observation?
Number two, staying in the SEC, as it was the first week the SEC returned to action. So I was excited to see some familiar faces, some top dogs. And speaking of dogs, that's my second observation.
The dogs.
Georgia Bulldogs. I don't know what they're going to do if JT Daniels isn't the answer, because that offense is lacking a quarterback big time. JT Daniels announced to be cleared today. He's that five-star transfer from USC, who I know you're very familiar with as well. But they didn't look good, man. They had to fight against Arkansas. They ended up – the score's not indicative of how that game went. So, missed extra point here. What the hell's going on, Chiefs? But
Butker, who drilled three straight 50-plus yarders last week to win the game, and he misses a PAT. That's sort of how – not to get off, but NFL kickers, they've been just missing PATs left and right and drilling major field goals left and right as well. So, I don't know. Maybe that's just part of the year.
Yep.
Start betting on that.
But back to college football, Georgia and DeJuan Mathis, he's not the guy.
Oh,
Jamie Newman opted out from Wake
terrible.
Because a lot of people in the Georgia circles talked to a Georgia fan this weekend. They were like, yeah, Jamie Newman just got flat beat out. And if he got beat out by Mathis, there's a real problem in Athens if JT Daniels isn't the guy, or JT Daniels goes down. Can he opt back in? Like, how's that work?
I don't know who to believe on the whole quarterback thing anymore anyway, because it's like, how does he get beat out by a guy who's not even medically clear? That makes no sense. I mean, JT Daniels, if he was that good in the preseason, wouldn't be able to play right now. I know that they really liked Mathis, and he was a guy that had a really unfortunate situation last year with the the tumor or whatever they had to cut out. And then he's able to redshirt and come back, and he just looked completely overmatched. And then you go to a former walk-on, and Stetson Bennett IV, which, gosh darn it, if that doesn't sound like the most SEC, Georgia quarterback name of all time.
Oh, that guy definitely has an Alabama swoop.
He was meant to play QB in the SEC. Yeah. And give him credit, because they were losing at halftime 7-5. Yeah. and he made it to where they were able to really
turn it on. I thought I was reading something wrong. I was like, they typoed or something. I checked and then pulled it up on my phone. I was like, holy smokes, it's 7-5 right now.
Georgia's just really unlucky that they played Arkansas and not, say, Ole Miss. Yeah. Ole Miss would have beat them this week.
Ole Miss would have smoked them. They would have got out to an early lead, and it would have had a hard time chasing the Rebels down. That offense has playmakers. They always do. That defense is really good, but man, I didn't love what I saw from Georgia. You can't be comfortable if you're a Dogs fan.
And I was sitting there saying preseason with a lot of other people, like, man, I can't believe that Florida got picked to win the SEC East. Like, shouldn't they have to do it first?
I'm looking at
it now after 1 week, and I'm like, all right, well, Florida's a better team right now. Florida's right now, there's a chance for things to get turned around. But right now, if they play tomorrow, yeah, I'm taking Florida 10 times out of 10 in that matchup.
Yeah.
All right, second down for me, staying in the SEC. It was the biggest shocker of the week, and it was the Mississippi State LSU game. And Mike Leach and the air raid, the pirate comes in. People wondered, would this work in the SEC? Not forgetting, perhaps, that he has previously coached in the SEC as the offensive coordinator at Kentucky back when Tim Couch was setting all sorts of records in the late 90s under Hal Mumme. He's just a winner, and he's weird. And he's kind of untouchable by major programs because of that.
He's just too weird.
Because he's so bizarre. But the guy can coach football. And here's the crazy thing, right? I mean, all we've done is talk about, especially in relation to Florida State, but with other teams too, how difficult the offseason was for these new coaches coming into new situations. Mike Leach inheriting a team that had a lot of talent already, an offense in the air raid, which is, I don't want to call it simple, but the concepts are very simple. Yeah. And then the biggest coup of the offseason is the recruitment of KJ Costello.
Yep.
A guy who would still be starting at Stanford if he hadn't gotten injured, and then just, you know, things just, sometimes you get Wally Pipped. That just happens.
By the way, they probably want him back, because Stanford's not a program to be, you know, turning people away these days.
Maybe not, yeah. But tell you what, I mean, Costello, he made some mistakes. But that offense is almost geared to let you make mistakes, because you're going to get the ball back and have a chance to do something else with it. And we've seen him do this before with some reclamation projects. I mean, Gardner Minshew being the most recent example over at Washington State. But this is probably the most talented team that he's ever had as far as Jimmy's and Joe's again. I'm excited to see what Mississippi State does this year under the leadership of Mike Leach, because that was a heck of a debut.
That's the only part of my Turco trifecta that hit, and we'll touch on that in a second. But I felt really good about that, because LSU lost so many people. They lost their whole team to the NFL. And that's a hard problem to.
And they lost their best corner the night before the game. I mean, they're breaking.
There are a lot of things going against them. But you're right. Mike Leach is a guy that everywhere he goes, coaches very well. I mean, he's a good coach. He's crazy, but he's a good coach. My final thing here is, back in the ACC, I do want to really just say this, because I want people, even if it's just you, I don't care. I need to tell someone, Pitt has a damn good defense. And they held Louisville this year in check all day. And Louisville's a team that just lit up Miami. Yeah, Miami won the game handedly, but they couldn't stop Louisville for anything at any point in the game. Every time Louisville needed to score, they'd go down and score to keep it relevant against Miami. Louisville put up a lot of points against Western Kentucky. Louisville then goes against Pitt, and they drop 20 points. I think it was a 23-20 game. Florida State has to play Pitt coming up, and I'm not looking forward to that. I think Pitt's going to upset a couple teams here, not necessarily a couple, but they're going to be a bitch to play in the ACC. I don't think anyone wants to play a Pitt right now. And we talked about Narduzzi, their head coach, always has a scrappy team. Offense is always questionable. But this year, that defense is for real.
Again, there's a really good competition for the second-best team in the ACC. Until somebody beats Clemson, I believe that they're the best. Even if somebody beats Clemson, I still believe that they're the best. But North Carolina, Pitt, Miami, like those are three potentially solid to very good teams. That North Carolina, unfortunately, hasn't played in a couple of weeks due to just some bad luck there with their opponents and COVID testing. Yeah. But all three of those teams have shown signs and should be fun to watch throughout the course of the year. The ACC isn't just a one-trick pony, I don't think, this year, which should make, when you're playing nothing but a league schedule, at least things more interesting on a week-in, week-out basis.
Yeah, you're right. At least there's some teams in there that are competitive and fun to watch,
no doubt.
If it's just a one side of the ball that's fun
no
to
doubt.
Watch.
No doubt. All right, since you went with your kind of your gratuitous pit pick there, My third down, if we keep this segment going on a week-by-week basis, which we might, we'll workshop things as we always do. We don't lock in anything on here. We're trying to do the best program for all of you.
Besides my marriage, we just don't commit on anything.
That's good.
As a team, that's what we do.
And for me, that means I don't commit on anything at all. But I think my third down is going to stay as my mid-major moment of the week. And you know me, I made the call last week saying that I just love college sports, and I love just good competition, regardless sometimes of what the names on the jersey are. My Louisiana Raging Cajuns did it again this past week, and they went and again needed a
fell behind
an unbelievable finish. Which, if anybody hasn't seen the way that game wrapped up, it was arguably the game of the day.
I haven't. So I follow bottom line of everything. I check the lines as they're going, live betting and whatnot. I saw they fell behind again, and I was like, oh, another week.
Go watch. It's worth your time to watch the video, because just for the last four possessions of the game, Georgia Southern is going in to take a lead with a touchdown late in the fourth, and the guy's lunging for the goal line, fumbles it through the back of the end zone, touchback. Then they force a punt for Louisiana, get the ball back. Georgia Southern just methodically marches down the field. A guy makes a one-handed touchdown grab while getting crushed in the end zone. They take the lead and get the two-point conversion where the quarterback gets sacked, but he keeps his balance, stumbling to his right, chucks it into the end zone, and they convert it. I mean, they're up at this point. They played for the win on the road. Unbelievable moment there.
Hey, buddy, come here. Come make an appearance.
Beckett, it's like, I got to hear about the end of this Louisiana-Georgia Southern game.
A little FCS action.
They're both in the Sun Belt. But, Scott's come on.
Yeah, a little.
Give them some love.
A little small school action for you. Your Uncle Scott, huge fan of the small schools.
Louisiana college kickers having a redeeming moment here. Guys, 2 for 6 on the year, as long as field goal is 30 yards. They get into range for him to try a 53-yarder. He crushes it. So unbelievable performance there. I mean, I love it. Just the opportunity to see the little schools get a chance in the spotlight. And while we're in a situation where the Big Ten's still not playing and the Pac-12's still not playing, more time for these schools to be on major networks. And Louisiana undefeated, still ranked, and they're I'm picking them to crash the playoff at this point in time. All right, Alex, those are our three and out observations, three downs there on college football. Busy week in college football, and of course, we'll continue to talk about it. Let's go ahead and look at your trifecta from this past week. Fortunately, not another great week for you. Another 1-2 week.
Football is getting their licks on me.
You're now 3-5 on the year.
I'm going to keep fighting the good fight, much to the chagrin of my wife, but I'm going to keep doing it. I text with Bods all the time. Okay, friend of the program, guy that reads the lines better than anyone I know, as often as anyone I know, and it's a tough year to bet. I mean, the coronavirus has really thrown a curveball to everyone. I'm not making an excuse, because I know for a fact I'm going to turn this ship around. I think I got screwed on one, so I'll let you go ahead and read them out. Yep. We can discuss it, and I can
here
and throw a little pity on myself.
Mississippi State +17 at LSU. You won that outright, so yeah, really well done on that one in getting that. West Virginia, you had them You love the road dogs this week, by the way. You had West Virginia plus 8.5 on the road against Oklahoma State.
West Virginia really disappointed me. I was
not good.
Yeah, I was shocked that they couldn't score.
And then Kentucky, you had them to cover 8.5 on the road at Auburn.
And that game was absolute bullshit.
That one was tougher. I mean, you had a touchdown taken away by poor officiating right before the half for Kentucky. And I know Auburn
zone turnover.
Oh, we had a touchdown taken away too. Well, you don't even have a pick six if the touchdown gets called two plays prior to that. So there's not even an opportunity for a pick six. But yeah,
red zone turnover.
No, a turnover deep in their own end. Do they have a red zone turnover too?
Well, I'm talking about the fumble.
Oh, that was a pick, yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
That ended up being a pick, which led them to not scoring. They didn't score any points on that drive. Then they turned it over on their own end with a QB run down to their own 35, easy points after that. Ran a fake punt at one point that failed and allowed Auburn to score. So, I mean, it was just one of those where the football gods were working against Kentucky.
And you know what? It was so low scoring for so long. It was 8-7 forever. It was 8-7 for like the entire first half.
Yeah.
I thought, and then Kentucky went up. I was like, okay, well, the cover is safe. I'm almost to the point where I might live bet the money line for Kentucky, and then it took a turn for the worse. Thankfully, I didn't do that, but certainly didn't win the game and definitely didn't even cover 8.5. So that was a shame.
So 1-2 week, you're now 3-5 on the season. You did get your first NFL lock of the week, however. You had Bucks minus 6 against the what was probably the last time we'll see the Jeff Driscoll-led Broncos. Yeah. In a game.
That line really never moved, and I hammered it. I thought it was fake. It didn't seem right to me.
Yeah.
It just, I said it's a lock of the week for a reason. I was like, this is an absolute lock. So I think I'll keep that going. I'll pick one game I truly like. We're going to get the lock of the week going. So more work for you as far as tracking my records.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I've been doing this since I was in the radio biz years ago.
There you go. So I'll have another lock of the week. Another Turco trifecta coming out this week on Thursday, and I'm excited to do it. I don't feel dejected by these games. I don't feel like I'm that far off, so hang with me, guys. We're going to get this thing turned around and start making a little bit of money.
Any games jumping out to you already here on the college slate?
I personally haven't even looked at any lines.
Pitt minus 14 against NC State at home. Mm. That is tantalizing.
They don't score enough. I'm not getting
But NC State just got rocked by a Virginia Tech team that was missing like 20-something guys.
24 guys out with COVID and coaches.
I mean, that's...
What's that UNC spread?
I like Cincinnati minus 21 at home against USF, who can't score any points.
Yeah, USF's absolutely awful. Oh, this was the one I did see and loved. Sorry to snatch your phone from you. Texas A&M, Alabama. I texted Bottas about this morning. Bama 16.5 over A&M. A&M looked awful against Vandy.
Yeah, and really struggled.
Bama's on the I'm going to prove you wrong tour.
And Bama took everybody. They did the opposite of Miami. They took everybody out early against Missouri. They were taking it easy on them.
Yeah, because they have a coach that's been there and knows what it's like. He's like, listen, we're Bama. We're fine.
And he's like, I don't need 20 points. What do I need to gain by
16.5
Missouri?
That's a 20-point game. I'm laying the 16, and I'm taking Bama. So there's one that will be on my card without question. From there, you'll have to tune in to us via Twitter. Yeah. To find that Turco trifecta later this week.
At sportsbar_pod to follow along and see what Alex's picks are this week. They may not be, I don't know, he's due for a good week. He's due for a good week. So the averages, law
like
of averages
that. See,
will play
out. I said earlier, I'm in black Jags, black Florida State hat, black Jags shirt, Pitt baseball, the Buccos in MLB suck. So I'm in a black Pirates koozie. A lot of mourning, a lot of sadness to start the show. I'm feeling upbeat now, and you right there with that positive reinforcement.
You're
a good friend, Scott.
There you go.
I think I'm going to kick some ass in the Turco trifecta this week because of that. I feel good.
Good. I'm glad to hear it.
Do it.
The Sports Bar Podcast from the Ice Mule Cooler Studios coming to you again here on this Monday, an action-packed Monday, final pod of the month of September. We roll into October, which is already one of the busiest months of the year sports-wise in a normal year. Add to that we've got NBA finals this year on top of everything else. I mean, it is going to be absolutely loaded, an extra big Major League Baseball playoffs. We're going to get to all that here in a moment. But of course, the National Football League is well underway. Week 3 wrapping up tonight, Monday night, as we record this with a a doozy of a Monday night matchup at the Chiefs and the Ravens. We're having fun watching this while we record, and we'll look forward to watching it after we're done here tonight. But for the NFL, it was another action-packed week. Things are really starting to kind of, I don't want to say shake out already, Alex, but we're seeing some serious delineation between teams that may be good and may be bad. But
I'd agree with that. You're starting to see the separation, a little oil and water mix.
I think there's, until, you know, going into tonight's Monday night game, I did the math earlier. I'm pretty sure it's 8 teams are undefeated right now. So, I mean, that seems like a lot at this point in the season.
Yeah.
And of course, we just did a 2-0, 0-2 segment last week, so we won't do that this week. But this week, what we're going to do this week with the NFL is the good, the bad, and the ugly. You and I, we're going to give our good that we saw this past weekend, the bad we saw, and then, man, there was some ugly stuff in the NFL this weekend as well. There was some ugly stuff in football across the board, but I think we're starting to get used to that more often than not. But what was what stood out to you as far as good things you saw on Sunday afternoon?
I'll start with the good, and
may have been Sunday night, actually. If it's, I know
it's
you're
the
good.
Packers, yeah. And I think that's something that I wanted to see how they play in New Orleans against the Saints, a team that just came off a loss already, and see how they bounced back. The Saints that was bounced back from a loss last Monday night on a short week to the Raiders. Man, Aaron Rodgers is on an absolute tear of a revenge tour. They now have, let's go Chiefs, little touchdown action for that ass, and they're Scott's Packers, actually.
Yeah, my Packers.
You thought they were going to be frauds, but Aaron Rodgers is just killing it. They've averaged through three games now, each one of their games over 30 points. I mean, the offense is rolling with a bunch of no-name receivers. Alan Lazard, a guy that was here in Jacksonville, they let go.
Yeah.
Great front office move there. But the Packers look good, and there's something about the NFL when the Packers are good. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, I mean, there are certain brands,
so
right?
I mean, yeah, I'm all about it.
And even to say like the the Steelers, even though we've got our bet on that, it feels more right when the Steelers are competitive so that they're playing big-time games. The Packers are like that. So there are other brands out there, too. Even the 49ers and the Cowboys are ones that you feel like probably should be good, right? And it's more interesting when they are. The Broncos have kind of that feel to them.
So you mentioned the Steelers before. Actually, I take that back. Let's run through our good, your good, okay, our bads, and our uglies, yeah, but let's touch on our Steelers, yeah, bet there. I want to revisit that because we, okay, haven't determined what is up,
nope,
at stake quite yet. So go ahead with your good.
All right, my good is a guy who both of us owe an apology to, and that is Josh Allen. Yep. Josh Allen, and I'm not talking about the Jaguars defensive end, Josh Allen. I'm talking about the quarterback. Josh Allen is tall. Josh Allen has a big arm, and Josh Allen
looks good in shorts.
Looks great in shorts.
Has big hands.
He actually looks good in pads this year too. A lot of guys were still doubting him, including us, even up to a week ago. And he has gone three straight weeks of over 300 yards passing. He has the Bills undefeated, 3-0, and in first place in the AFC East. And another team that I picked that would underachieve based off of expectations so far is off to a great start. So Bills fans, Packers fans, thank me. I'm definitely the one that motivated those teams into their performances so far. But Josh Allen, I tell you what, and he got a little bit of aid from a iffy PI call there at the end of that game against the Rams. But that shouldn't take away the fact that what he did to get them to that point, and then he took advantage of the PI and got the touchdown to win the game. But that's a dude that when they jumped out to a huge lead, the defense gives up points as the Rams rallied, and then he said, listen, I'll go right down the field and drive. And that's a pretty good Rams team too. And he did it against them. Impressive stuff. And you know what, Josh Allen, we're sorry. We're sorry for doubting you. He looks like he's one of the up-and-coming young quarterbacks in the NFL.
He's a competitor. There's still a lot to be desired in the fact of just watching him drop back and pass.
Polish.
But this league isn't really like that anymore. So the way he's doing it, kind of still Big Ben works. A little improv along the way.
Yeah, so I really – hats off to him. And you know what? The Bills are fun. I don't know why I was ever like anti-Bills. The Bills aren't the Patriots.
Hey, their defense is a little surprising.
Their defense is good.
You think?
It was, well, okay.
They gave up 28 to the Dolphins, and then they gave up 32 to the
garbage,
Rams.
It was garbage time Dolphins stuff. But
and garbage time Rams stuff for a second until they about lost it.
So the Rams, that was actually, that was a little iffy.
I don't know. I'm certainly looking at the Bills moving forward, the Bills defense, that is, with a microscope.
Yeah, they need
it
to
concerned
get
me.
They need to clean up because, like, they play well at times, and then it's like they rest on their laurels or something like that. But isn't that John Harbaugh, special teams coach extraordinaire?
Drives me nuts, man. I'm starting to feel comfortable. Chiefs pulling away. And for those of you that aren't sitting on this couch with us, the Ravens just took a house call on a kickoff return, 93 yards.
God. What was your bad from the weekend?
So my bad is Houston Texans, the way they had their draw of their schedule. I think that is shitty for them. Nothing they could do when you go up against the best team in the NFL, the Steelers. And that, right, Scott?
Yeah. They played the best team in the NFL. Just Steelers wasn't on the jersey.
Well, the two teams playing tonight, the two top teams, maybe in the whole NFL, but certainly in the AFC, the Ravens and Chiefs. And then week three, you have to go to Pittsburgh and try and beat a phenomenal defense there with the Steelers. That's a horrible draw. That's as bad as it gets. That's just bad luck is really what it is. And I don't think we said this last week. Neither of us think that they're out of the playoffs. We think when we did our frauds or what was it? Fraud or.
Yeah, we just did 2-0, 0-2.
Yeah.
Who's
reading into it or not. And we both said we think the Texans can turn things around. Would have been really nice to get a win this weekend and be 1-2 as opposed to 0-3. But guess what? They're 0-3 and they're going to have to put the pedal to the metal quick.
Getting harder by the week. I mean, you're 0-3. I mean, that's worse than 0-2, obviously. But the NFC, the AFC's got plenty of quality teams. I mean, at this point, the Titans are undefeated. The Colts are a one-loss team. I mean, they're in dead last in the AFC South by a game. And it's not going to get a whole lot easier for the Texans. I mean, it'll get somewhat easier because they're not going to play that kind of good team. But it's not going to be easy in the South this year, I don't think, for them either. No,
Colts have had an easy schedule, but they're starting to put it together. Mm-hmm. The Jags was a wake-up call, I think.
Hopefully for
the Jags lost for them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, the Jags need a wake-up call. They're my bad for the week because right as everybody started around here getting a good feeling about this team, we sat here and talked about how fun they were, how frisky they were on this program last week.
Yeah, they're going to be in every game. They're very competitive.
They went and laid an egg, fell victim to Fitzmagic on a Thursday night, and that game was over from the time that it was probably over from the time that Doug Marrone decided to defer because, I don't know, I guess there's just this chip that has been implanted in football coaches' minds now that tells you you have to defer, there's no other option. So if he defers again the rest of the season, he shouldn't be allowed to coach another play in the NFL, much less the rest of the game. Also, the mind-numbing choice was to punt in plus territory when you've seen your defense for the last couple of weeks, plus the opening drive of this game, and how they don't stop teams very well. And why in the world would you sit there and punt the ball back? I mean, it made no sense. But the Jags played scared, and it showed. And they lost the game accordingly. And now they have a kind of a moment of reckoning here as to whether or not this team will continue to be fun and maybe be pesky, or whether or not they're going to fall into one of those traps that seem to plague the Jaguars franchise, in which they all of a sudden let one loss snowball into
a
bunch.
So it's so unlogical that this logic works, but I picked the Dolphins in that game because I said the Jags are supposed to win. The Jags are so far looked like the better team.
They'd been the better team the first 2 weeks.
Right. And they're at home in prime time, so they should be amped up. I'm taking the Dolphins. Because everything says Jags, I was like, no, that's not right. That's not a good enough team to say. If everything points Jags, I'm going the opposite way. And it worked out. I was like, I don't know if this logic will work. It worked out.
I'm 0-3 picking the Jags this year, so.
Hard team to read. I mean, week one, who was picking the Jags?
Nobody.
And then look what they did week two when you start putting that together. They're a tough puzzle to read, but, time for them to bounce back. We don't have high expectations here for them.
Well, you got to beat the Bengals, who are winless still at this point, and have a – if the Jags struggling. Cannot find a way to sack a quarterback against the worst offensive. I mean,
Burrow is being abused.
Guess what? Whoever allowed for Florida State's offensive line to put on Cincinnati Bengals jerseys on Sundays really needs to be punished, because they might as well. I'm sitting there watching that game going, these guys are the, of course, the part of the joke is Bobby Hart is on that offensive line, but these guys.
How he got paid, I don't know.
They're so bad. I mean, they're one of the worst offensive lines in the history of the NFL. They're right up there with, like, expansion Houston offensive line. And it's amazing that Burrow has been as effective as he has been, considering he's running for his life every play.
Slinging it, man. Well, you want to talk about bad. That's perfect for my ugly. When you talk about a bad offensive line, you want to talk about an ugly portion of a team. How about the Falcons' defense? They're horrendous. Like, the worst I may have ever seen in the NFL. Horrendous. With a defensive head coach, Dan Quinn, who somehow every year cools his seat off just in time to not get canned. But guess what? Chicago comes back this week. Chicago, a team that's 2-0, that's a fraud. But now they're 3-0.
With Nick Foles.
With Nick Foles. They put Nick Foles in them the game.
BDN, and getting it done.
Man, it is... It is, BDM. I love that. Foles, man, he's got quite the reputation. Everyone knows about that.
Well, this is what he does. Like, he comes up.
About BDM. But yes, this way.
This is what he does. He comes off benches and, like, does, you know, heroics. Like, he's not a guy that you hand the keys to the car.
So they were down. The Bears were down 15. The week before, Dallas was down more than two scores. I don't even remember what it was. And they needed a miracle on an onside kick. Remember that? And the Falcons didn't go for the ball.
Yeah, they were down. They were down two scores with like 2 minutes left.
Oh, it was over.
Yeah,
and the Falcons couldn't stop them. Falcons are 0-3, and they're scoring like crazy. I mean, this week they had 26 points because they forgot how to get first downs after they started playing conservative. Dan Quinn's got to get fired. Maybe next week if they lose, just be done with it. End the error. It's horrible, but that defense, that's ugly. That is an ugly defense.
Well, he is in competition to get fired first, along with one of the guys who is part of my ugly, the head coach of the New York Jets. The New York football teams are my uglies because, man, the Giants and the Jets are both putrid. And it's – I never feel bad for, like, New York sports fans because it's like, all right, you're New York sports fans. But, man, oh, man, like, the Knicks are garbage. The Giants and the Jets are garbage. The Mets miss the playoffs. The Yankees make the playoffs but are cold as ice going into the playoffs. You've got
that whole set. The Knicks,
the Rangers
always
aren't very good. The Isles get bounced. I mean, geez, Louise.
Yeah, New York, a city known for all of its sports, because there's obviously
100 teams to choose
right
from. Yeah,
right. Everyone is just diehard this or diehard that. Man, they're terrible. Talk about the Jets right now. We see a commercial on Broncos Jets Thursday Night Football. I don't know
be passing on watching that one.
I don't know what contest we won in hell, but why are they giving us the shittiest games on Thursday nights?
Luckily, we have plenty of other options on this Thursday night to watch.
Thankfully.
So we don't have to relegate. Of course, it'll still draw the best ratings out of everything, but we don't have to watch that. Yeah, the New York teams, I just can't say anything more than, like, wow. Brutal. Now Joe Judge in year one, it's kind of a rebuild thing there. Cut him some slack.
He's getting ripped, though, isn't he?
I'll cut him some slack.
Daniel Jones.
But there's no talent. Best player's injured. They just don't have a lot of talent. So
Best receiver is Golden Tate or Darius Slayton.
Really? They've got to really do a good job of, like, infusing.
I'm with you there.
I don't hate the Giants. It's just going to take
Daniel
a while.
Jones. I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. I don't
He's
know.
He's just trying to make plays. The Jets, on the other hand,
man,
bad.
Gase is a disaster.
Lack talent, and Adam Gase. How in the world he ever got the reputation as an offensive genius? You know, Peyton Manning. Guys like that can do that for you.
Just Peyton Manning.
Guys like that can do that for you. I mean, Peyton Manning. He's his own offensive coordinator. I mean, what more do you need, man? Yeah, it's been ugly in New York. I do know some Jets fans that I like and feel bad for, but other than that, hopefully they just have the misery ended soon with Adam Gase being relieved of his duties.
They got to let him go. There's no point. That's another Dan Quinn situation. You're not bouncing back with Dan Quinn. You're not bouncing back with Adam Gase. That nail's already in the coffin.
Can I wrap up our NFL talk here with one final thing? I just want to make a confession.
All right, I'm listening.
I've had a change of heart. for years, I have been very anti this player. And I kind of came to the realization as I was watching late on Sunday that he's one of my favorite players now to watch in the NFL.
I'm excited for this. Who?
Russell Wilson.
Okay. I have
hated him since he was at NC State because he always found ways to beat Florida State back in the 2000s. He goes to Wisconsin, a program I've never been a fan of, per se, and of course, does good things there. Goes to the league. There is, of course, all of the nonsense about Brian Anger being drafted before him. So that gets brought up all the time with the as a Jags fan. That hurts, so I just blamed it on him. And then I was just like, oh, this guy wins a Super Bowl, but he wasn't even that – like, his defense was phenomenal. His running game's great. Like, he didn't even do anything. And now he is – like, his defense is terrible. Like, the Seahawks defense is the worst.
Which is crazy. They traded for Jamal Adams.
They have the worst pass defense in the NFL by 100 yards. Going into the weekend.
Worse than the Falcons?
Worse than the Falcons and the Jags by over 100 yards going into the weekend. And we know both of those pass defenses are sieves as well.
Really bad.
Now it may change. I haven't looked at the updated numbers, but that was going into last weekend. Like, they can't stop a nosebleed on defense. And they are basically saying, Russ, go do it. And real shame to see Chris Carson get hurt late in that game on an old Darnell Dockett knee twist at the end of that tackle. But
how bad is he hurt? Do we know?
I didn't see. It's some sort of a knee, but
sorry, he got twisted up.
Yeah. So hopefully he's okay in the long run, but we'll see. It could have come out that he's out for the year, and I just missed it. But Russ, I mean, just amazing what he's able to do when he sat back there and went through five reads on that touchdown pass, the game winner to DK Metcalf. I mean, by the way, watching both of those quarterbacks work was a lot of fun in that game because Dak is – don't blame Dak for the problems that Dallas is having. He's going to get paid.
Dak's looking good, man. And deserves talking about it. Weapons, that's a really fun team to watch. I have CeeDee Lamb in fantasy. Loved CeeDee Lamb at Oklahoma, so I've been keeping track of them so far through these three games. I mean, you're talking about Gallup, CeeDee Lamb, Zeke, and Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean,
they got a lot of talent.
They look great. They are awesome, but their defense, that's another rough one.
There's a lot of bad defenses in the NFL this year.
You're right. We don't
a lot of good offenses and a lot of bad defenses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to get that out there. Like, I've been anti-Russ from day one.
And I also have never liked the Seahawks. Now. I don't think that helps. I don't like their colors. They're just – something about
it. I think the other part of it too is like when the Seahawks were like good and it was Legion of Boom and they're like kind of loud and obnoxious when you weren't
hated
a fan.
Them.
Like, they're not that anymore.
No.
And now it's just like Russell Wilson, who's like, you know, boring, but like he's a really fun football player.
He's really fun.
Like, they don't have Marshawn Lynch. They don't have Richard Sherman. They don't have Earl Thomas. Like, they don't have any of these guys.
Chancellor,
they don't have any of those guys that like talk. They don't have anybody that talks. They just go out there and play now. And I think I kind of appreciate that. And they're fun, and I like watching. I just love watching him work in the pocket. I mean, it's a pleasure, and the way he can make reads and things like that. But yeah, I had to get that off my chest.
I'm glad you did. No, that was fun. No, he's certainly a guy that is getting his just due these days. A lot of people have
MVP favorite right now, based off a lot of talking heads.
3 weeks.
Yeah, I know. It's still early.
Of course, everyone's like, oh, is anyone else even going to challenge? It's like, come on, guys.
We're watching two guys that are pretty darn good in this game on a Monday night, too, that are previous MVPs. So they might have something to say about that. NFC, AFC. You could see the delineation there. All right, let's wrap up this show. We got a couple of quick topics here to get to at the end. Major League Baseball playoffs start this week. The strangest, shortest season in Major League Baseball history gets underway, and you're they're actually perfect timing. They just flashed up some of the World Series schedule on the TV there for you, but it is a year in which we're going to have a lot of baseball to choose from, and you're a guy, you got your Pirates koozie there that you already said that you're kind of mourning for the Pirates being the worst team in Major League Baseball.
Just thank God that season's over.
16 teams made the playoffs. Pirates weren't even in consideration from about week two on.
Yeah, probably.
And so what about I want you to pick a team. Like, you need a team, right? Like, to adopt for these playoffs. Are you gonna pick anybody?
Pre-COVID, I took a futures bet on the Dodgers just because it was easy money.
Yeah.
in my opinion, I was like, oh, I'll just ride the horse and whatever. It was, it's a small bet. It's no big deal. It's like, that way I have a team because I know the Pirates are going to suck. So I am rooting for the Dodgers to go ahead to and just follow get through, on it. Yeah, get through the hump.
Yeah, get over,
Kershaw, get be able to get a ring. You know, I don't like the Dodgers by any means, but I also don't like any of the teams in the playoffs right now. Who do you have? Who's going to be your team?
Well, I'm rocking the Reds hat tonight. I'm going to follow along with the Red Legs, who made the team as a wild card, the first wild card team, because it was the top two teams in each division and then two wild cards. But they're as hot as anybody in Major League Baseball coming in. I mean, they were dead to rights 2 weeks ago, and they have only lost three times in the last like 11 games or something like that, or the last like 14 games. So they're hot going in. They got some great pitching. I really like their matchup against the Braves in the first round, even though the Braves are the two seed, just because there aren't many better staffs in baseball than what the Reds have. So your Dodgers face off against the Brewers, by the way. And if you're a baseball fan, Alex, this, even if you're not a huge baseball fan, if you're a casual baseball fan, starts Tuesday night, or Tuesday tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Yeah. So we're going to have day baseball to watch
tomorrow
here.
At 2?
2 o'clock.
Oh boy.
Astros Twins, 3 o'clock.
I do have some White PTO Sox for the rest of the year to burn.
Wednesday, how about this? You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 baseball games that you can watch on Wednesday starting at noon. It's like March Madness, but for baseball.
And 2 o'clock tomorrow, noon on
noon on Wednesday, and then everything time will be determined based off of, you know, how many series are left and how many games need to be played, because they're best of three here to start. So you can't sit there and be like, you know, whatever, I'll catch. I mean, two games, perhaps, to save your season in advance at some points this year. So it should be fascinating to watch. But, I'm fired up for it just to have something else to watch. And
well, it's kind of like when they started the NBA bubble. They're like, we got a lot of games to get through. Let's get these babies rolling and just start nailing game after game.
Yeah.
And look how much publicity the NBA's got. A lot of fans, a lot of traction. Everyone's been locked into the NBA more so than usual, which is surprising because it's also competing against the NFL. I feel like they're getting a lot of good draw from this just game after game feel.
All right, I'm going to rapid fire through this for you. You don't even think about it. Tell me your pick.
Oh, God.
Twins, Astros.
Twins. Astros are – everyone hates the Astros this year.
White Sox, Athletics.
A's. You love the A's. I'm going with Scott's A's.
Blue Jays, Rays.
Blue Jays hit the hell out of the ball, correct?
They do, yes.
Rays are number one,
Rays pitched the hell out of the
ball. Yeah, I'll say Rays. They got a lot of talent.
Yankees, Indians.
Going Yankees. I don't know anything about the Indians.
All right, on to the
this
NL.
This is a safe place, right? I can be honest. Okay.
On to the NL, Reds, Braves.
Yeah, I'll say Braves. Sorry, Scott.
Marlins, Cubs.
I'll go Cubs. Marlins don't have it. Young team.
Cardinals, Padres.
Padres for our boy McQuillan. And Cardinals suck, right? Yeah, we hate the Cardinals. Oh,
this is an anti-Cardinals podcast. Yeah.
Brewers, so my Dodgers. Whole life, I always text all Dodgers, my buddies in a group text. FTC. I always do that.
Yeah, I got you.
Always. I mean.
I'm right there with you. I was hoping they'd miss the playoffs.
I send it to Eric all the time, too. Just know, FTC always.
I was really hoping they'd lose yesterday. No, it would have been weird if they had lost on Sunday. It would have actually sprung. So the reason why the Cardinals are the two seed in the – and I don't want to belabor this too much, but I found it fascinating. Cardinals are the two seed in the Central. They finished second in the NL Central. But the Reds had actually clinched a playoff spot before the Cardinals. Because, like, the Cardinals-Brewers series, there was so much that could gone on there. So, if the Cardinals had lost on Sunday, then it would have actually triggered them having to play a doubleheader on Monday against the Tigers. But because of their win percentage after they won the game against the Royals, that I think it was the Royals, but that ended up being moot, or the Tigers. But it was crazy. So, the reason why they made it is because they played less games on the Reds, and they had a better winning percentage by, like, 1 point. Because they play less games. So
FTC to that.
Yeah, I know. I'm right there with you. Okay. Lastly here, NBA finals start Whew, as if we could fit any more sports into our calendars, but the NBA finals start on Wednesday night.
I actually am. I said it last week too. You've asked me, can I do it? Can I handle it? It's hard.
It's really hard.
It's hard. Like, ask the television networks about this too. I don't live in a sports bar. It's hard for me to fully commit to a Wednesday night, a Thursday night.
Well, it's just every night.
Bring two TVs out, or you name the night. So, yeah, man, I'm struggling. It's a great problem to have, but I'm also like,
it beats the alternative. But
yeah, but I don't want to miss stuff. Games, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as the television networks, ratings are down across the board for these things because of the fact that people literally only have two eyes. Like, you can only watch one thing at a time most of the time, and it's very difficult. And people are just picking things. So, you know, like we said, this beats the where we were in that other time period where we were sitting there saying, "Man, I'd watch anything right now." And that doesn't. We don't have that problem. We'll put it that way. We certainly don't have that problem right now. But real quick here. What are your thoughts on the finals? Who do you like? Can the Heat get it done, or does LeBron win another ring with a third different franchise?
You know, this is a fun matchup. I really am happy to see the Heat pull through. Celtics are talented, but they're just not consistent from three. So the Heat prevailed. Same thing with the Lakers. Lakers are just mowing people down in the West. I think the end of the day, Adebayo. Golly. Baby Dwight. Right? Baby Dwight.
Yeah. I mean, smaller, but yeah, I get it.
No, he looks just like him is the whole thing.
You really think he looks like him?
Are you serious?
I don't.
That was his whole thing when he got at Kentucky. He was Baby Dwight.
I don't know.
Oh, they're twins. I'll pull it up.
I know what he looks like.
No, we're going to do a side-by-side. So. Right. Anyway. Oh, wait. He's playing Dwight. How cool is this?
Yeah, how about that?
That's the storyline of the series. Scott doesn't even believe it. You just wait. So anyway, he's going to have to shut down AD. That's the big question mark to me. LeBron's going to do LeBron things all day, every day. Jimmy Butler's a good defender, though. They might put him on there at points, depending on where LeBron's lining up. We'll see. But what I really, really like is the Heat's team effort. They really just spread the ball around. It's Hero. It's Duncan Robinson. It's Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Buckets late. And then Bam's killing it on the block. He's a double-double machine these days. Really good on defense, athletic. I think Lakers, I want to say in six, but I think this one might go seven. I think the Heat are going to surprise some people. When they get hot, they could beat anyone.
Well coached and deep, so it makes perfect sense to sit there and think along those lines. And they're arguably playing as good as any team in the bubble. I would say they've had a couple of hiccups, but I mean, again, they're playing against the Celtics in a conference finals, and they were playing a pretty good team that was playing hard too. And nobody would have been shocked if they had made it either. So it should be fun. I mean, so many sports, so little time, so little sleep at this point in the year. But I'm going to enjoy it as long as it lasts. And heck,
I'm happy to hear MLB's going to be midday because I'll watch those.
That's great. There's no conflict.
Exactly. I would never watch them over NBA or NFL, but I'll be all in on that.
I'm working at home tomorrow, Tuesday, that is. You bet I'm going to have baseball on throughout the course of the afternoon. I loved, you know me, I was flipping on those MLS day games. I mean, heck, baseball, I like MLS, but a baseball playoff
game that's
is
a little,
way better.
A little more intriguing
way
for
better.
Us.
Yeah. And baseball's
all right, come on, man. Bam.
That's just like the angle that it's at. Like,
Scott,
when Bam
why are you
makes
such a hater.
He just makes, like, his face doesn't actually look that much like him.
Look. Okay. All right. I know our viewers need to Google this on their own.
I mean,
they're twins. They're the same guy.
Yeah, fraternal twins. Yeah.
They're the same guy.
I don't know what's
going on. All right, we're taking this one off air. Right, I'm not done scrolling through pictures for you.
Okay, lastly, we want to open this thing up to our listeners. Alex and I made a Steelers bet.
Oh, I forgot that we were bringing it up. Thank you.
I bet that they would lose, or they would win eight games.
So they're eight win team.
Or fewer. You said nine games or more. Right now, they're 3-0. But we need the listeners' help in deciding what is going to be the result of said bet for whoever loses. So we're opening it up to you. At home, let us know @sportsbar_pod on Twitter, or if you've got our numbers, text us, because we know that we have a lot of loyal listeners.
That's how we communicate with most of our listeners.
But let us know what you think should be the parameters of this bet, and we'll let you know if we get anything good by next week's show. We'll announce
it. And keep
it
in mind, Scott's probably losing it, so think of something good for Scott to have to do.
Yeah, something like that.
You know, butt chug some vodka or something.
Just can't be, no money, because that is not proper for me. But
I lose enough on a weekly basis on the lines to have to pay out a buddy. Let's just, we'll have something fun. But, yeah, Steelers looked good again.
Yeah, Mayer's bet here.
Had to battle back.
Yeah, I felt good when I saw the early part of that that score, and the Texans were but then the Texans turned back into a pumpkin because of Bill O'Brien. But and the Steelers. I mean, I'll admit they're better than I thought they were. But man,
feels good to hear you say that. Oh, Noah, a loyal listener and huge Steelers fan as well.
He probably crushed me.
Oh, he was very upset. He couldn't believe it. Yeah, but we always play down to our competition. You just saw us play Driscoll and the Broncos, so it was a little reactionary.
Right,
I get that.
Yeah, I mean, and yeah, I just keep waiting for Ben to. Something to happen to Ben. I don't know. Like he got tackled on his arm at one point. I was like, he's just going to come up and need like a
and hold his knee
for his elbow.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, he'll something hold it. Like that. Yeah. But no, he's being tough again. I mean,
you know, for an episode that I said was going to be doom and gloom, I'm in a really good mood. I'm feeling good about all this.
You know what?
This was good.
Even if things aren't great for our said teams at this point in time, we're just gonna enjoy it. We're gonna enjoy it, and that's what I'm doing. That's what Alex is doing. That's what we hope at home you guys are doing too. And we'll continue to enjoy this journey along with you. Sports are all the way back, and we're enjoying it as long as you guys are enjoying it and talking about it every Monday night here on the Sports Bar Podcast. For Alex, I'm Scott. This has been another episode of the Sports Bar Podcast.